All right, what is going on, everyone? Welcome back to Hit the Books, Season 3, Episode 36, a little NHL-NBA playoff recap preview of the first round, some going into their second round matchups. Just me and Mackie this week, no Jesse, no Ace, just the two of us. Mackie, give yourself a little intro, and we'll get right into it for some of this playoff topics we
got lined up. Yeah, the NHL and NBA playoffs are kind of in full swing now. Rangers looked good, obviously, with the 4-0 sweep in the first round, but a lot to dive into in these playoffs. There have been some really good series so far and a few upsets as well. So we'll look into those.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll jump right into the NHL. Obviously, like you said, your Rangers 4-0 series sweep over the Capitals. Obviously, yeah, it's hard to pull good and bad things from a 4-0 sweep. It can't get much better than that. We're going against Carolina next round. What would you say is one thing that you watch? Because I know you watched all four games in that series. One thing that you're like, Carolina could capitalize on us in this way.
I see. I don't want to say we did anything wrong because you really don't do much wrong in a 4-0 series sweep. But I mean, going into that series, I mean, you probably had them winning the series in four. I think I had them winning the series in four. I mean, they were supposed to win that series in four.
So they just handled business.
They got the job done. Exactly. They took care of business. They did what they needed to do. Was it the nicest hockey that I've ever seen? Absolutely not. I mean, they really never dominated any game. They were obviously the better team in every game, but they never dominated at any point where we were like, holy shit, like this team shouldn't even be here. Whereas if you looked at the Carolina Islanders series, Carolina outshot them like triple in some games. Like insane.
And every time the Islanders got a lead, like I'll just say this one now because obviously these are the two teams playing each other. Right. Hurricanes defeat the Islanders 5-game series. Comes to a wrap on Tuesday night in a 6-3 Hurricanes win on home ice. Carolina's, like we said, looked dominant despite taking 5 games to win that series, let New York win what was it, double overtime. That's the most gentleman of all time. The lower seed wins the overtime game in double or triple.
Keep them alive for an extra 2 days.
Yeah, exactly. Carolina gets to go back to home ice to lock this up. Obviously, Hurricanes will take on your Rangers in the second round. What are you thinking? I know you're on the Rangers here. How many games do you think it's going to take? 6, 7?
I'm going to say 7. I think that. Yeah. I think both teams defend home ice for sure.
I was going to say, could you just see every team win their home games?
Yeah, but the Rangers have taken care of business against Carolina this year. That's the thing about this Rangers team is that they don't outplay anyone like insane. Like they don't always look like the best team on the ice whenever they're playing someone. But they find ways to win games. They have 55 wins this year. They kept finding ways to get the job done and winning games. And that's what they did against the Capitals, too. I mean, they didn't outplay the Capitals in every game, but they took care of business and found ways to win every single game. And I think they'll be fine against Carolina. I think there's going to be moments where we're going to be like, oh, shit, we might be in trouble because of the firepower that Carolina has. And we've seen that a million times.
Their ability to score two goals in 9 seconds twice in the series.
Exactly. And the Rangers have had that problem with giving up back-to-back goals. A lot this season, but I mean, you got to trust the defense. You got to trust Igor. You got to trust the top 6 forwards, even top 9. The third line has been awesome for us. You got to trust these guys to get the job done, and I really think that they will. I think that Carolina chokes every single year. They don't have the depth that the Rangers have, and this is going to be a really good series. Don't get me wrong; I am scared for it, but I'm more scared for the Western or the Eastern Conference Finals, pending who we play. But I'm assuming it's going to be Florida.
Yeah, that's what I think. We will get, obviously, like I said, I think that's a hell of a series. That's the one that I think most of us predicted, getting the Hurricanes Rangers matchup in that second round. When's that start? Do you know when game one is?
No, but we're both done. So they were saying like as soon as possible, hopefully Saturday, probably Sunday.
I was going to say probably Sunday.
It could even be Monday, which would suck. It's over a week.
That's so long off.
Yeah, it is. But Carolina also has a pretty long break as well. So
yeah.
I don't know. It's going to be a great series for sure. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Who do you have? Let's see who you have in it.
It's tough because, like, looking back at like rest the.
I understand. Listen, I understand if you say Carolina 100%.
I'm going with Carolina, but I'm deciding if I think Carolina has to win the series in 6 on home ice. If it goes back to MSG for Game 7, I think the Rangers have it.
Yeah, they're Carolina's or
Carolina has to win games 1 or 2 in New York before even playing a home game to see if they're, you know what I mean? That's their only chance to win the series in 6.
Yeah, 100%.
It'd be nice if they get game 1 and, you know, obviously not for your sake, but for their sake, it'd be nice if they get game one. They really don't have to worry too much about game two. You get back to Carolina with a 1-1 series. That's a win in your book. You know what I mean?
You take home ice from the Rangers here, and they're definitely in trouble.
Yeah.
100%.
Who has a better power play? Because I think that's going to come into play a lot in this series. These are two teams that are just known for scoring power play goals.
I'm pretty sure the Rangers do, but the Rangers, like...
And the Rangers also have, don't they have the top three penalty kill in the league?
Yeah, they do. Our special teams is what makes us, though. Like, if you want to go back and look at those games against Capitals, like, 3 out of 4 goals were on special teams. Like, we get shorthanded goals out the ass.
Well, I was going to say, one was a shorthanded
game.
Yeah,
we, the majority of our goals are special teams.
Yeah.
So the 5-on-5 could kill us, but I mean,
I don't see either team losing the series in less than 6 games.
Oh, it's going 6 games at least, definitely.
Yeah.
No way it doesn't.
Is there I don't really care to look because it's so far in advance, but like I guarantee the over under for this series is probably set. Is it ever set at even games? Like, could they set it at 6?
That's the problem with over under games. Is that what are you going to do? Set it at 6.5?
Like, yeah, and like, just bet it to go 7. Everyone's going to take the under.
Everyone's
going to
take the under, even if it's going to go over. I mean, like, you can't set it at 6.5.
This will be at like 5.5, but the over is going to be like minus 250 or something.
I was going to say, it's going to be like minus 210 or something like that.
Yeah. But yeah, the other side of the Eastern bracket, Florida defeats Tampa in four games to one as the series ended Monday in Fort Lauderdale with a dominating 6-1 series clinching victory. Panthers will await the winner of Aces, Boston Bruins, and Toronto for their second round matchup. Game 6 of the Leafs and Bruins tomorrow night back in Toronto. Obviously, I think we were all on the Panthers there. You said 5, I said 6, just kind of respecting the Lightning a little bit. I think I did correct myself to 5 eventually. This Panthers team is so good. I think they're going back to the East Conference Finals. I don't care who they get, Boston or Toronto. I'm big on this Florida team. I think whichever team they get between Carolina and the Rangers, that's going to be a hell of a series. This Florida team, they're just so fucking deep, dude. It's like as soon as Verhaeghe, Reinhart, Barkov, like their power play, Tarasenko, it's just like they got names on names. And then you go down to like the fourth line, guys like Lomberg, like they just have that style of play that's so annoying to play against. And they're so good at it. Obviously, coming off a cup run last year, I think they're gearing up for another one. They didn't waste any time dealing with Tampa Bay. I think that's a big, big series to get done in 5 games. Because I think this Toronto-Boston series is going back to Boston for game 7.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that one. Let me get into the Panthers real quick. The last team that I want to see for sure, the star power up front. The thing about their stars up front is that they don't miss. Like they execute every single game, dude. Reinhart, Barkov had 2 last game before it was a blowout. Verhaeghe had one.
Like this, Kachuk, neither of us.
We didn't even name Kachuk, and that's crazy to think about because he's not even a top 3 forward on that team. Maybe top 3 impact, but
he's the biggest name, I'd say.
But in terms of like skill and like putting the puck in the net, he's not top 3. Impact, that's a different story, but it's insane how deep this team is, and then they have Bobrovsky in net. I mean, this is just
he's
the last
doing exactly what he did last year.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I think crazy. Florida gets to the Eastern Conference Finals. On the other side, it's a series. It's definitely a series. I kind of thought it was gonna be over in 5, but I mean, you pop that one in overtime, and you're right back there. You get to go home for a game 6.
That overtime goal for Toronto obviously not only saved the season, but like that gives you so much juice,
dude,
and fire under your ass in game 6.
Think about
and you're getting Matthews back.
Think about where the Bruins were last year, up 3-1. Go to game 5. Go to overtime. You lose to the Panthers. What is, like, dude, it's the same exact situation. And here's the thing.
Go back to Hallmark.
Okay, let's not even get into the goalies. Because if you don't play Swayman and you lose this series, I think Jim Montgomery should be fired. I don't care how good his 2 seasons were. You haven't gotten out of the first round. But I am going to say the Bruins win this in 7. I really do think they do. And I said that the Leafs would have it in 7. Before it got to 3-1. But I mean, I don't think the Leafs can go into Boston game 7 and get a win. I really don't. And when you have Swayman in net, I know Joseph Wall is playing really well for the Leafs as well, but can you really see a scenario where the Leafs go into Boston game 7 and get a win? They haven't beat Boston in a series in 60 years.
Yeah, I also did. I originally said Boston in 6. So I did see this going back to Toronto for game 6. Not the way that it's going.
Yeah, you didn't expect it like this.
No, all the momentum has shifted over to Toronto. And the fact that they got that win without Matthews, like, if Matthews comes back and they get another early lead like they did in game five, I love this series to go seven. And who's the favorite? It has to be Toronto, like a minus 120.
In what, game six?
Yeah.
I'll give you
Toronto has to be like slightly favored.
Yeah, they're definitely favored in that game.
Minus 130, maybe as deep as that.
Minus 115. So it's tight. I mean, I also don't think Matthews is a go. Like, I think he's still.
Dude, you got to be a go in this game. How are you sitting?
How do you sit out game five? I mean, dude, he's got to be down and out, dude. Like, 104 fever or something.
You're going to be like hugging the toilet. Yeah, can't even put your skates on.
Can't move. But, I don't know. And whoever wins the series is just going to lose probably in five games to the Panthers.
Even if he could just dress and only go out on the power play.
I mean, dude, but what if he's that sick and he just like, he has no, like no strength, no power. Yeah. He has nothing. I mean, like,
yeah.
Dude, he's got to be so down bad if he's just missing these playoff games.
Him with IVs and shit.
Yeah, for sure. But you agree whoever runs into the Panthers, I mean, it's probably five games.
I think this is a crash course to run into an even better team. Yeah, for sure. For either of these teams.
Tough. But this is definitely a great series. You know, Ace said it was going to be seven to begin with. I don't think he thought it would be seven after 3-1, but no. I think we're looking at another seven-game series.
Yeah, I do too. Let's jump out west. Colorado defeats Winnipeg on five games. The Avalanche won four straight after the Jets took game one of the series up in Winnipeg. Avalanche will await the winner of Vegas and Dallas for their second-round matchup. What went wrong for your Western Conference champion Winnipeg Jets?
All right, I did say it last week after I think it was 1-1, might have been 2-1.
You said it was over.
But I was like, yeah, I mean, this Avs team is so freaking good. They scored 5-plus goals in every single game in this series, even the loss. They lost 7-6.
They did the same thing last year, too, to Vegas. They won game one, and then they lost four straight. That's 2 years in a row they've done that.
And, dude, Hellebuck, I mean, he's winning a Vezina this year, and he shit the bed completely. Like, I know it's the Avalanche, another star power up front, but I mean, he did not look like he was letting in softies left and right too. But
like you said all year, like Ace kept saying that I don't know how far this team could go with Georgiev, and you're like, dude, he doesn't need to win games. Dude, they're gonna score five goals a game.
I think they gave up like 3.5 goals a game in this series.
What did they score? 5.4. Like
more.
They still won
probably
every
more.
Goal,
probably
yeah.
more.
It was so game like one six. They scored seven.
No, they scored six in game one, but they scored 6-6-5-6. Like, it's like insane, dude. Like,
over 5.5 goals. Yeah.
Yeah, this team has so much star power and so much, and they just don't miss. Like,
who's the guy that's on fire for them? Nichushkin, and who's the other one?
I don't know. Is Rantanen? I haven't really watched a lot of those.
Curry Lekkinen.
Oh, Lekkinen. Yeah. I mean, dude, like, those aren't even top three players on the team.
No.
Like, you still have McKinnon, you still have Rantanen, you still have McCarr, who's been an
lighting it up
firepower in the series. I don't know. I mean, this Avs team is definitely—they got to be the favorites to win the West now.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I know they had their problems at the end of this regular season, and everyone had their doubts. I had my doubts, but this team just turned it on, man.
Yeah, they've clearly turned it around and fixed that problem. Like we said, Dallas, Vegas, all tied up in their series, two games apiece. Road teams have won every game this series. As the series shifts back to Dallas tonight. For game five, who are you on tonight? Who do you think wins game five? Obviously, by the time people are listening to this, this game will have already happened. But game five, going back to Vegas in game six, who's going to have the 3-2 series lead?
Yeah, you're probably going to disagree with me here because I know you like your Knights. But I think the Stars went four straight. I think that they just kind of handled business on the road. They got back into the swing of things. I think they take care of business at home tonight. I could see them losing a game six, but I think the Stars kind of have the series wrapped up, even if it goes back to seven. It's giving me a lot of the same vibes as the Rangers-Devils last year. Rangers went two on the road. Once you lose a two at home, I mean, dude, you're depleted. Like, you thought you had this series, and now you're sitting there, and you don't have home ice anymore. Like, you just won two games on the road, and now you're sitting there with your dick in your hand because you have to go on the road two more games against the number one seed in the West. I think the Knights are going to have trouble winning this series for sure. I'm going to go Dallas in six, but... could go seven.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Vegas and seven in this series. I think I originally said six. Wouldn't surprise me if they win this game tonight, but I think they will go home and handle business in game six and at least force that game seven. Like I said, Dallas loves losing game seven series. I could see that happen again. Vegas is just one of those battle-tested teams. I think they could obviously get it done. Wouldn't be surprising to me if Dallas gets, you know, like you said, wins four straight. like the Avalanche just did. They're obviously got the star power down there as well, the one seed in the West. I definitely could see Dallas win tonight, go home, home, and home. But I would like Vegas to win this series in seven if it makes it there. Obviously, if they win tonight, I'd take them in six. So it just kind of depends. A pivotal game five, you'd hate to go home with your backs against the wall, but at least you're going back home with a chance to force game seven. But that's a hell of a series out there. I'm excited to watch this one. Another matchup in the West that we have tonight. The Edmonton Oilers lead the LA Kings 3-1. Chance to clinch the series in 5 games tonight as the series heads back to Edmonton for game five. Can the Oilers close things out while and rest up while these Canucks and Predators wrap up their series? Or is this going to be going back to Staples Center for game six?
Yeah, we're both on the same side of this one. It's actually on the card tonight, so you got to hope that they get the job done. But I think the Oilers close it out. The only thing that scares me about this team is that they can just shit the bed anytime.
Yeah. Like
they did it. They did it in that one game in the series.
And me and you watch.
Yeah, I mean, especially to the Kings, too. I mean, the Kings, kind of sketchy, and they're in the same division. They know each other a lot. The Oilers just, I mean, like, they can give up 5 goals in a game like it's nothing. I'm going to assume that they don't do it tonight, and I think they get the job done against the Kings. But going forward, this team still does scare me. I don't care if they win the series in five. They're still, I don't trust this team at all.
Yeah, they need to catch fire, or I definitely wouldn't. I mean, I have them playing Colorado in the Western Conference Finals, and right now I'd like Colorado to get to the Cup more than Edmonton. But
yeah,
I do like Edmonton to close things out tonight. Same thing, obviously, on the -1.5, like we said. I think this LA team's good. I just think they're a couple pieces away from hanging with some of these big dogs in the West. They're going to give them a run for their money every time. They did it last year against Edmonton, but I like this series to be wrapped up in 5 games. And then the other matchup that we said, Vancouver leads Nashville 3-2 in their first round matchup. Nashville wins a massive game five, force that game seven back in Nashville for game six, where the Predators will have their backs against the wall with a chance to force a game seven. Do you think there's a chance the Preds can force this game seven, or do you like Vancouver go in there and handle business and force or close this up?
Dude, I did take the Preds last game. I didn't actually take them, but I was texting my buddy about it, and I was like, I think the Preds can keep this series going on the road in this game. And you know, they played well. I mean, they Saros had a great game, and you know, they got the job done in a nice playoff 2-1 battle. But I don't know, man. I'm gonna go with the Canucks in this one, and they're just so much better. Like, they are just clearly the better team in this series, and they don't have the goaltending, even though what's his name? Slavs, or something.
Yeah.
He's been playing well. He got a loss last game in a 2-1 game. Obviously, not his fault. But I think the Canucks just outmatched the Predators in this series, and they already won 2 games in Nashville. I think that they get the job done again, and then they get ready for Edmonton next round.
I'm gonna back these Predators one last time. I think they can. This is a huge game on home ice. I think it's Friday night this game is. I think it's not for a couple of days, 2 days at least. And then
is it? Yeah, you're right. Wow.
Didn't they play last night?
Yeah, they did.
So they're all, that's a flight and a half coming back.
Yeah, I didn't even think about Vancouver, how much of a travel that is.
It doesn't surprise me they give them the 2 days, because then game seven would probably be Sunday. Does it say?
Yeah, they don't give them the 3 days again. Yeah. So yeah, it's Sunday.
I like this series to get to seven. I originally picked Nashville in six, obviously. They needed to pick up another game. They win a huge game five to stay alive here. The story of this series is going to come down to game four. You blow a 3-1 lead with
45 seconds left, I think, or maybe it was more.
No, it really was. It was that little, and you let up 2 goals, and then as soon as they tie the game with 8 seconds left, you know Vancouver's winning that game.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's over at that point, but yeah. There was 2 minutes left, but I mean, you can't lose that, man. Like, you can't. A playoff game, you're on your home
ice. Not on home ice. You cannot lose that game on home ice.
It's for the sweep on your own home ice. Like, you already lost the first game on your home ice. You have to win that. You're up 3-1.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the game that's going to change this entire series. And if they lose this in six, it still changes the entire series. They lose it in seven, the series should have already been over. They probably should have won it. But I mean, that's
Nashville, if they can just manage to close out that game, say game five goes exactly how it did, they're coming home with a series with a chance to close out the series.
It's exactly what I'm saying. Like, Nashville lost this series on that game alone, especially with how game five went. You win game five.
Yeah.
So I mean, that that definitely was a series changer, momentum changer. But I mean, this Canucks team just has so much firepower up front. They even have it on the defensive side with a player like Quinn Hughes, who can be that offensive factor, and how good he is on defense. I mean, Canucks are shuffling goalies and they're getting the job done. I know they kind of outmatched the Preds.
They're truly
Preds,
just plugging anyone in and getting it done.
But then again, you have Saros in the other net, and he can take over a game whenever he wants as well. So again, I would not be surprised if the Preds even win this series, but I think that they can definitely force a game seven. But
yeah,
I mean, it can go either way. This is a series that I can't really
once it gets to game seven, like the same thing as you kind of said, Vancouver's already won two in Nashville. Nashville's won two in Vancouver. This has been another one
where right.
a lot of the road teams have won games, except
right.
for game one.
You're right, definitely. See, like home ice also isn't like, it's not, I feel like it's so much more important in the NBA.
I was going to say in the NFL.
Oh, definitely in the NFL, but I'm talking about the playoffs right now. Like,
Oh, yeah.
I think that that home field.
I also think it's like, dude, like once, like we always say with college basketball, like home court. I just think like once you get to the playoffs, these teams that are still sticking around, they're so good. Like it matters. But like you see what the Avalanche went in and did to Winnipeg during that whiteout. Everyone talks about, oh, that's the craziest, you know, playoff, whatever crowd. It's like some of these teams, you can just tell they just don't give a fuck. Like,
no. And I mean, if you're
they
playing
it every night too, you know what I mean? Like,
I think that's the other thing is that like, when you're like the NHL, you can just block that shit out. The NBA, you're on the court. Like you have to sit and look at a person who's like face to face with you. Like the
you
NHL,
can hear everything they're saying.
The
too,
NHL, but you can block that shit out. You don't have to really pay attention to it. And I mean, these guys are just so good; they can just take over. But
it's nice. It's definitely nice to be on your home ice. But I don't think it's as big as a factor as like people make it seem. You know what I mean?
100%. 100%.
Especially in the playoffs. All right. Yeah. We'll do the draft after the NBA. We'll keep rolling with the playoffs. NBA will start out West, where there's already three series wrapped up. That's why I want to start out West, cause it's a little bit more already taken care of. Minnesota completes a series sweep of Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and the Phoenix Suns, through dominant performances by Anthony Edwards and averaging 31.8 and 6.3 assists, per game in round one. Can this success carry over against these defending champion Denver Nuggets? What do you think?
Yes, 1,000%. I had this conversation with my buddy the other day. He said, this Nuggets T-Wolves series is going to be insane. And I was
This is must-see TV for me. These are like my two favorite teams this year, just because I love Jokic, and then I've obviously just been on the Timberwolves this year.
And I said, I really think the T-Wolves take it. And don't get me wrong, I am not discrediting the Nuggets at all right now, but I mean, that series against the Lakers could easily have flipped like nothing.
Yeah,
like nothing. Like
and I hate to be the guy that's like, yeah, the Lakers led for majority of the series.
That's
like,
what I was gonna say, but like, it's
I know,
true,
like,
bro.
I know. But like last year, everyone was saying that was the closest sweep ever. It's like he still got swept. You know what I mean? Like,
you're
still coming out on the wrong
and I'm
side.
Not, exactly, exactly.
Lakers blew multiple double digit leads in third quarters and fourth quarters in that series. It's like they just weren't. When it came push comes to shove, like Denver was the better team in that series.
Well, they had the support. I mean? They have the support. I mean, Michael Porter Jr. was shooting like 56%. Like
you get
like,
two game winners from Jamal Murray. That makes it
First time a player has ever done that in the same series, hit two game winners in the final 5 seconds. But my point is that this Nuggets team is beatable. It's not like last year where you were waiting for them to walk through the West and get the job done. This team is definitely beatable, and you saw it. Last round, the Lakers could have been the better team. That series easily could have been flipped. You could be seeing a game seven. But
and if there's any team I think that can do it, it's this Minnesota team. You have Gobert and Kat down low. It's not just one big like in the Lakers. Like obviously they have LeBron, but like Anthony Davis's job was Jokic. If Jokic was getting around Anthony Davis,
what do you do
who
about
was going
Aaron,
in?
What do you do about Aaron Gordon? What do you do about Michael Porter Jr.?
Exactly.
The T-Wolves have those weapons. They have
the answers for them. Like Naz Reid coming off the bench, a bigger guy. Like Kat, Gobert. Anthony Edwards is playing out of his mind right now. If they can get a somewhat of a performance out of Jaden McDaniels that they've had or throughout these four games, he's had a hell of a series. This team's clicking. They're just that fun team that no one saw coming. Obviously, I know they're a three seed. Everyone wanted to hate on them because they're young and inexperienced.
I literally did. I will be the first one to say that. I did not see them coming out of the first round.
Yeah.
But
I just think the Phoenix team is like, that's Brooklyn 2.0. That's
first of all,
literally what,
I mean, it's just like, it's a recipe for disaster. I mean, there's zero defense altogether on that team. Yeah. And it's just a bunch of ISO ball. Like, what are you going to do? Walk up the court and just like play one-on-one the entire time? Like a team like Minnesota who plays defense so well and they're so fundamental.
Yeah.
You can't do that anymore. It's not 2017. The NBA.
I was going to say, it's not, it's such a different game. It's not just get three stars and fill the rest of your roster with minimum league or minimum contract players. Like,
but the thing was that worked 7 years ago. The NBA has advanced so much in that time that like, you can't do that. You cannot build super
now,
teams. It's not a recipe for success.
Now you need like one A grade star, a second grade star, and like four good role players.
Bench. You need the role players. You need those supporting guys that are going to get the job done.
Yeah.
And the Lakers didn't have that. There was no way for it.
Like the Knicks, Josh Hart, like
supporting players. Like even like Deuce McBride, like, dude. Like,
yeah.
He plays the final 8 minutes of every game because of his defense.
He's my favorite.
And how hard
Nick,
he works.
Because he's from West Virginia.
Obviously, because he's from West Virginia. Yeah. But like, dude, he's like, and you have Dante DiVincenzo not even playing. That's how deep this Knicks team is, and that's why they're getting success. Yeah. But obviously, that's a different story right now. But.
Yeah. How many games do you think? Are you saying Minnesota in six? Can they win this on home court, whatever the fuck it is? I think they get game one or two in Denver. They didn't struggle with Denver this year during the regular season. They had their number.
I don't think Denver is unbeatable at home either.
I don't think. Yeah, let me look at the season series before I say that they didn't struggle with them. Because they came down to the end. There was a game with like each team had two games to go, and that game was basically for who got the division and got the two seed. You know what I mean?
Fuck. It doesn't say. You're gonna have to go through it.
No. I'm gonna try to find that game whenever that would have been. When did the playoffs start? The 20th?
I have no idea.
I think it was a 20.
Hold on, I can find this real quick.
Look up T-Wolves, Nuggets, whatever. Wait, I think I'm close to it.
2-1.
Here it is. Nuggets win 2-1.
Yeah, that's what I'm at right now.
Oh, I'm at... It was a split, 2-2.
2-2, yeah.
It was a split, 2-2. Timberwolves 1-1 in Denver. Timberwolves 1-1 at home. They both went 1-1 on the home and or 2-2. I can't talk. They both won in each city.
All I'm saying is before the playoffs started, Denver was like, all right, we get past the first round. I think we're good until
this is a cakewalk. Yeah. Yeah.
Now I guarantee you they're
in. They were looking at that bracket like the Edmonton Oilers are at that next matchup between Nashville and Vancouver.
Exactly. Exactly. And now it's a completely different scenario. Minnesota, I mean, I'd take them over OKC any day.
I would too. That's the matchup I'm hoping we get. For how much I like Luka and like the Mavericks, and I'd love to see him go to an NBA Finals, I'd much rather see.
I don't think that team has it this year anyway.
No, I don't think so either.
But I mean, the West has been good, and it's only going to get better. I mean, this is going to be a great second round.
Yeah, that's definitely the matchup to watch. Obviously, it's one of the only ones that are locked in officially, but. I mean, even just looking at the hypotheticals, that's definitely the best matchup, in my opinion, in the second round. But we'll head to the Oklahoma City Thunder completing the sweep of the Pelicans, becoming the youngest team to ever win a playoff series. OKC did not look like a younger team once these games started, picking up where they left off from this regular season. Key performances from, you know, Shai and the rest of the team. Jalen Williams had a huge part in the series.
Blue door on defense. Don't overlook
this young
that
team.
One.
They really are just like a younger version of the Denver team. Like they don't have that true guy. I guess their guy is, you know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. It's not a center that can do it all. It's kind of just they're so deep. They have so many young players. I don't know what they're going to look like against if they get the Clippers. I think that's a tough matchup for them in the second round.
Well, here's the thing about that first series is that, I mean, you're going zero experience against zero experience. Who did the Pelicans have?
TJ McCollum and Larry Nance.
Yeah, I mean, and Brandon Ingram, who I don't even think has any playoff experience. But, I mean, OKC took care of business. We expected them to take care of business. They looked really good, though. They looked great. And there was obviously a lot of uncertainties about a young team going into the playoffs like that. They got, obviously, the best matchup they could probably get without being the Lakers or the Warriors, because you don't want to see those veterans in the first round. Yeah. But, you know, they took care of business and they got the job done. And they got the support from all their players. Chet had a great series. Like I said, Lu Dort absolutely locked down Brandon Ingram. He was in shambles. I think he shot under 30% in the series.
Yeah, yeah.
Shai doing his thing. They just got the help from all around. I think that they're they're bound for the Western Conference Finals. I think whoever they run into in the Western Conference Finals, they will lose to. But yeah. I think that they, I don't know. I don't really think that they have a really, they're going to have a tough time against the Clippers and the Mavs.
I just don't think it'll, it's, I mean, for good reason, I don't think it's going to be as easy, meaning I don't, I think it'll take maybe 5-6 games. And I think 6 is being more generous.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I wouldn't see that either of those series over in 5, to be honest. But I think that they will be the better team in both those series.
They're so good on their, they're so good on their home floor that, like, I think they, no matter which one of these teams they get, Dallas or LA, I think they could go up 2-0. It's just, it's not like you, if there's one thing you could point a finger at with a young, inexperienced team, it's like when you're up 2-0, you can't go back to LA and let them win 2 straight games. You know what I mean? Like, you steal one, you come back for game 5. Let's try to wrap this up. Okay. If not, back to LA for game 6. Like, you have 3 chances to win one game. Like, you know what I mean? They just got to win their first 2 games on their home floor. I love this Thunder team. I want to see them in the Western Conference Finals. It's scaring me. All these young teams are doing good. I know that's like the new age NBA, but I'm waiting for one of these teams that we've seen or been waiting on, like this Clippers team with Paul George, James Harden, all these stars to possibly do something. Like,
the nerves I think the nerves are gone, though. I mean, that's the whole thing going in with a young team. And
that's why they got a good matchup. They didn't want the Lakers. They would have lost to the Lakers.
You said going up 2-0, third game is huge. They won that third game by 21 points against the Pelicans. I know the Pelicans are a lot easier of a competition against the Clippers.
Wasn't game 2 the close one and we took them?
No, game 1 was close. That's when we took them. They won by 2
points. We took them the first half, and they won by 2 points.
Right, right. And game 2, they won by 32 points.
I remember last week on the podcast, I was like, they're going to smoke them tonight, and it was like an 8.5-point spread, and I took it. And then I don't remember what game that was, though. 3 or 4.
Yeah, they absolutely...
Because we took them in game 4 on the card.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. But, I mean, this team, I mean, they keep proving people wrong. They proved me wrong. But, I don't know. They're definitely going to have a lot different of a matchup in the second round.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. I think the Western, like, you have an Eastern Conference team, Ace has an Eastern Conference team. I think the Western matchups are so, like, much more exciting. Like, I don't like watching this Bucks team. Like, this Pacers team is, Cleveland, Orlando, like, that's a snooze fest.
The 3-6-4-5 in the East just seems like so, you just know none of those teams are going anywhere.
Exactly.
Like, Bucks, Cavs, Pacers, Magic, neither of them are getting past the next
round. There's teams in the West that if you slid them over to the East as a 7 seed or an 8 seed, they might have had a better fighting chance. You know what I mean?
1,000%. Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Lakers, Suns.
You throw the Lakers in that.
If you put the Mavericks over there, like, they'd be right there with your Knicks is probably the 2 seed or 3 seed.
They'd probably be better.
I just think that the West is kind of back to where, like, the NBA does shift so often. Like, when we were younger, it was all the West was so good, and it was just LeBron running through the East. Then the East got so good with, like, Philly, Boston, Miami at those years.
Now even it's when, like, the Pacers were good with Paul George. Like,
yeah, Lance Stephenson, Paul George, Hibbert. That was a good team.
But, yeah, the West has definitely been predominantly, for our lives, the powerhouse.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the West is going to be great for sure.
We'll get into some of these Eastern matchups. Celtics lead the Heat 3-1, where Boston will have a chance to close out Miami tonight. On await the winner of Cleveland, Orlando. I do think they handle business tonight. I might bet the -14. Do you have any opinion?
Yeah, I mean, they fucked around and they lost. I just think it's so funny how after game 1 there was so much about, because they won by like 30 points or whatever. After game 1,
it was
there
like,
was
this
like,
isn't even a series.
Is Boston going to lose a game this entire playoffs? Or are they going to lose a game at home this entire playoffs? And there's odds for it on everything. And then they fucking dropped one to the 8th seed, Miami.
That's because it was the game after people were posting.
It's just like, I don't know. I genuinely think the Celtics team is beatable. And I don't know if that's me just being hopeful that the Knicks can get there at some point and get a good matchup against them and win a few games.
They are getting to the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, they're not going to lose to Cleveland or Orlando.
Absolutely not. They will get there, 100%. Yeah. But I think that, I mean, like, they're like, people are acting like they're a shoo-in to win the NBA Finals. Like, you're going to run into a gauntlet in the West regardless who you play.
They're going to come in. They're running into the best team that came out of the better conference in the NBA Finals if they get there. But to your point, if they get to – so we're both saying they get there to the Eastern Conference Finals. They could – I seriously could see them lose to your Knicks. They play a better team game. They could isolate Jalen – or I just combine Jalen Brown and Jason Tatum. They could isolate Jason Tatum, make it become Jalen Brown's team. You saw what Derek White did. Yeah, he had a career night. Like, I almost bet Derek White's points under tonight. I'm like, this shit just doesn't happen. Like,
you should. That's a great play.
They took away Tatum. They took away, it's really high, by the way, if you want to look into that. And the other one I liked was under on threes. But you take away Tatum, this team is so different. And it's like, I think your Knicks, they play so good defensively. I think, obviously, Brunson. I don't. Do the Celtics have an answer for Brunson? Are they going to put Holiday on him?
They do have. I mean, they could put Holiday on him. But first of all, there is no answer for Brunson. You can only contain him.
Same thing that's what I mean. Derek White? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, who's going on him?
And we have the extra guys where, like, if Brunson's not doing everything, we can figure it out elsewhere. And you don't have Porzingis. Say you don't have Porzingis to start that series. We have two big men that can get the job done, and they will dominate Al Horford with the.
I like, what's his name? Robinson.
Mitch Robinson? Yeah, he's a dog. He's been taking care of Joel this series. Obviously not taking care of him, but, like, you know, containing him to the most that he can.
Yeah.
I think that the Knicks can, without Porzingis, they can match up really well against the Celtics team. And they could definitely, I mean, even next series, I could see the Cavs win two games against the Celtics.
That would be big.
I'm not going to say they're going to win the series, but I think they can definitely steal two and make them sweat.
Do you think the Cavs wrap that series? Here, I'll just get into this one. Cavs lead the Magic 3-2 as the series heads back to Orlando. Game 6 in Orlando. Do you think this young Magic team can force a Game 7 back in Cleveland?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, dude.
I think just home teams win every game.
Those games were so lopsided in Orlando, Games 3 and 4, that I cannot see Cleveland going on the road and beating them in Game 6. But
The job done at home, so it doesn't matter.
I don't think Orlando's going to be able to go into Cleveland and get a win either. Even though last game was very good, it was a close game. Evan Mobley with a huge game-winning block on Franz Wagner. But this is a good series, better than I expected. And after the first two games, I think a lot of people expected it to kind of get out of control. But Orlando's young, and they're playing really good basketball.
I had Orlando plus 5.5. Was that last night?
You're big on this Orlando team, yeah, and you're definitely right about them. They're definitely not no fluke. And we all said coming into the playoffs that, like, Orlando's lucky to be here. They had a great regular season, but they're done in the playoffs. They could win the series. They could definitely win the series. I don't think they do, but they could.
I think easily. They would truly get swept by the Celtics. I would actually write that off as a sweep.
Right, I think the Celtics are hoping that the Magic win. I really don't think the Celtics care who they play, but
it'd be a cool uniform series. I will say that Celtics versus Magic. If you want to look at something cool about that series, it would definitely be the uniforms.
Yeah, for sure. But
I think Orlando ran into a tough matchup. Obviously, this is a younger team, but, like, Cleveland plays so defensively, but Orlando does the same thing. What? So this is like two defensive teams playing each other. But Orlando has such young players that they're still making, like, these mistakes that Cleveland's been here, done that. Donovan Mitchell, Evan Mobley, like, these guys played in the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They've been here before. They know the intensity.
In games 1 and 2, you could tell how inexperienced Orlando was.
They had to play in the Garden.
Yeah.
So they know the intensity and everything. Yeah, Orlando was obviously stunned. They had no idea what to expect. 97-83 in game 1. And then final score.
You did exactly what you need to do. Come home, win two games, win your home games, and I think that's what I said last week. I was like, this series isn't going to start until a home team loses a game, and I truly don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I think
Cleveland wins in 7.
I think I agree with that. I think Orlando definitely wins game 6, but I think Cleveland takes care of business in 7.
What's the line on that game 6? Is that tomorrow?
I'm going to say Magic -2.
I'm going to say -3. Yeah,
-4.5.
Ooh, that's a little steep, but I'll probably take it.
I don't know, dude. You look at the last two games they played at home. They won by 30 and 30 again.
Yeah, that's why it was scary when I took the +5.5 last night, because
you figured Cleveland was just going to take care of business at home.
I took the +5.5, and I was like, damn, I probably should just take the money line. Like, Cleveland's either going to blow them out like they did in, what was it, game 1? Or Orlando's going to win this game outright. Yeah. And I was like, ah, fuck it. Just take the points. Thank God they lost by 2.
That was a great play, yeah. But that was a great game.
I think Ace had Cleveland -4.5. He bought like a point or something.
Yeah, that's why I don't buy points either. But, I mean, sometimes it works out.
Yeah. I was going to tease them with the Bucks, and I should have done it. But, I mean, I hit anyway, so it would have been the same payout.
Speaking of the Bucks, get into that series.
Yeah, we'll jump back to your Knicks. Pacers lead the Bucks 3-2. With the series heading to Indiana for game 6. Do you like this young Pacers team to close this out? I think they kind of fucked up not closing it out in game 5, giving that Bucks a chance. Is Lillard coming back? Is there any chance here?
He has to say it, I think, but he's like, yeah, Giannis and Dame are both like on the verge of coming back. I think Giannis is done for the season. I honestly think he has no chance of coming back.
I truly think the same thing. I think if the Bucks win this series somehow, I think you would hear Giannis is out for game one.
Yeah, 100%, definitely. But I think this is over in six as well. I mean, Indiana takes care of business at home. They're the better team also. Like I think they looked at the
scouting. I haven't watched a single game this series.
I watched game, I don't know.
I've been betting the Pacers. Like, I've been betting the Magic and Wolves.
Yeah, the Pacers, like, I mean, dude, they're a good team. They really are. They have a lot of help. They have Nesmith. They have Siakam. They have Haliburton, obviously.
My favorite player on their team's hurt, Mathurin. I like him.
Benedict Mathurin, yeah, he's a dog too. They get the depth, and they put the ball in the hoop. They score a lot of freaking points, and if they're able to do that against this Bucks team again next game, Bucks don't have an answer. I know Middleton's been playing really well. Obviously, with the loss of Dame and Giannis, he has to step up. But I mean, last game was kind of a fluke. Indiana was like, we have this in the bag. They're missing the two best players. Shit the bed. They're gonna have their head screwed on for this game, and I think it's over in six.
Yeah. I think coming home, this is huge. That place is going to be rocking. When's the last time the Pacers have won a playoff series since that team we were talking about?
Yeah, probably 2014, 2013.
13, 14, yeah.
But I called this one. I did. I said Pacers series.
It just seems so shaky to start, and then now you get all the injury news and Dame's out. It's like they just have to handle business on home floor, and they can we'll get into your Knicks series. There's a chance that goes seven, and they could wait on this next series.
Yeah, okay, let me hear your thoughts on the series before I dive into this one.
All right. Knicks lead 3-2, heading back to Philly. As the 76ers win a huge game 5 in MSG to force that game 6. Tyrese Maxey takes over with 2 minutes left to force the overtime and eventually secure the win for the Sixers. I'm still on the Knicks. I think you guys can go into Philly and get this win based on solely off what I saw from the Knicks faithful in Philadelphia in game 4. I think you will see
You mean the Knicks second home? Yeah.
Yeah, it looked like a home game for the Knicks.
Yeah.
I think I'm not even kidding, I think if they do that exact same thing, not like that's the only chance you have, but like that got under the Sixers' skin more than anything that the players could do. The first thing Embiid said after the game was, "You guys can't let this happen. That's disgrace." Like, play the fucking game, dude. Be good.
You're worrying about the crowd, man. Like,
yeah, like seriously, like that. It's back to like what we were saying. Like in hockey, you can zone that shit out. In basketball, they hear everything you say.
Yeah.
No matter how much they try to keep a straight face and like not pay attention, they hear everything those guys are yelling in the first bowl.
I don't know if you saw this. You want to hear this though,
Michael? What's the line in game 6?
3.5, 3.
I like the Knicks. I like the Knicks. I'd probably take the points, though.
I think they get the job done as well, but
they're underdogs, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But, I'd take the points, but I think they win the game.
Speaking of the crowd,
Michael
Rubin and the Sixers ownership group are buying 2,000 tickets to ensure Sixers fans are in the building for Game 6 and limit the inventory for unpleasant Knicks fans to purchase on the resale market.
Dude,
they're that worried. You're that worried. And then another thing. Purchasing by Billing State for Game 6 of Knicks at 76ers. 34% from Pennsylvania, 24% from New York, 18% from New Jersey. You're outnumbered. You're almost outnumbered. You got to assume half of Jersey is going to be New York fans as well. I mean, the Knicks faithful does show up everywhere.
Yeah, I would say Jersey's probably split between the Philly and...
But you got South Jersey. That's obviously going to be all Philly. But, I mean, I'm sure that's a good amount of New York fans as well. But... I mean, they show up, they show out, and I mean, when you have to pay $450 to get into the Garden for a game, and you can go to Philly, drive 2 hours to go to Philly and pay $95 for a game, why the hell wouldn't you, you know?
Yeah.
But I think they get it over in six as well. I think that Tyrese Maxey is an absolute dog, dude. And it wasn't even last game. I know what he did last game was incredible. He had 48 points, 49 points, whatever. Obviously hit that buzzer.
He's been good since Kentucky. We saw this coming. I just wish he was on any team other than the Sixers. I do like him with Embiid. I just don't like the Sixers as a team.
He is a superstar. He will be a superstar in this league for the next 10 years, and I have nothing but high praise for him. Sorry he's going to have to lose his series in 6 games, but he has a great great upside for him in his career, and I really do like him. He's humble and everything. He's great, but I think it'll be over in 6. Give me the Knicks in 6. I talked a lot of shit. I really hope that they don't blow this.
Who do you think has a better future, Haliburton or Maxey?
Maxey by far. I think Haliburton is a fraud. Don't even let me get into Haliburton.
I kind of think he is too. He's like a fan favorite because he's like he won that tournament, loves the or won the or that All-Star thing. It was in Indy. the whole thing was like centered around him. So they were putting all the media around him. But like,
dude, have you watched the Pacers game? Have you watched one of the games in that series?
No,
he's just a spaz, dude. He's just out there running in circles, trying to find a sick pass to give or a highlight reel. Doesn't put the ball up. I'm like, dude, what are you out there doing?
Like, he's a little bit older, but like, I'd still take like De'Aaron Fox over him. Is that crazy?
100%. 100%. Haliburton got so much hype for it. He had, don't get me wrong, he had a great like 20 game stretch, but he got.
It was literally just that in season tournament. He went off in every in season tournament.
Yeah, it was a little after that too. He did have like a good stretch, but I mean, like, everyone overreacted, acting like he's the next best thing. Like, relax, dude. Like, you know how many people go on 20 game stretches? Jeremy Lin's next best thing at that point.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm not big on Tyrese Haliburton.
All right. That's our recap. NBA and NHL first round. Looking into some of these second round matchups as well. Real quick, gonna jump into, obviously, we had the NFL draft last Thursday. Gonna go through some of these top picks and then any other ones we want to touch on. Mackie, I'll just rip through these top, we'll say 10. Number one, Caleb Williams. Number two, Jaden Daniels to the Commanders. Number three, Aces, New England Patriots. Select Drake May, Marvin Harrison, Cardinals. Joe Alt, Chargers. Malik Nabers, Giants. J.C. Latham, Tennessee Titans. The shocking pick of Michael Penix Jr. to the Falcons at number eight. Bears go and get a receiver at number nine in Romo Dunze, and the Vikings trade up to lock down J.J. McCarthy at number 10. Did the Cowboys have a first round pick?
Yeah, they got
Tyler Guyton, the guard.
Tyler Guyton, yes.
And
yes.
Steelers got a guard in Fatanu from Washington. Both just kind of filtering up that offensive line. Steelers did the same thing in the second round. Zach Frazier from West Virginia. I like the Roman Wilson pick from Michigan, going kind of leaning on my Steelers, but I think the Steelers had a hell of a draft. Obviously, a lot of these loser draft analysts seem to think so too. So when their grades are good for your team, you like them. When they're not, you don't think they're as smart. But I definitely like what the Steelers are doing from an approach standpoint in the draft. Got a lot of, they're just building this offensive line, and obviously we have Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. Neither of them are looking like long-term answers for the Steelers. As they didn't pick up Justin Fields' fifth-year option, was pretty interesting to me. I thought they were going to do that, but you saved 20-some million there. I like what these Steelers are doing. What do you think about your Cowboys bringing back Zeke Elliott and not going after a guy like Blake Corum? Like, what was expected?
I think they've kind of had this plan for a while now without going after any of the big names. They turned down Henry before, or they didn't even turn him down. They just never reached out. They had this plan for a while, and
I think it's better to say you never reached out than to reach out and get shut down. Personally,
yeah, well, obviously, yeah, but they never had interest in it. They didn't want to pay the big bucks for the running back, and I understand they have a lot of people to pay, but they got him for $3 million, which is crazy because they're actually paying him $9 million. You're paying him $6 million for his last contract and $3 million for his new contract.
So, really, you guys are still paying him
We're paying him double from his old contract to three. Than what we're paying him now for him to play now, which is insane.
That's half the reason they brought him back. Jerry Jones is like, I'm paying you. You're gonna fucking work.
You're gonna play for me. But I like it. I think he knows the offense. He knows the team. We know him. He'll be a good addition. He's not who he used to be, obviously, but he could still get the job done. And
he's still gonna get the job done, I think.
And I mean, Dak throws the ball 40 times a game, dude. Like he's not. It's not a run heavy offense where you need a running back like that. I don't think our offense is a problem. I don't think that's what needs to be switched up, but I like what the Cowboys did. It's just, I mean, I have no faith in this team no matter what.
You guys didn't need much. You have the quarterback, you have the receiver, you have your
running
back.
We needed a tackle.
You don't have a running back in Pollard. I almost said that. You still have Ferguson. Yeah, you guys just need to do what the Steelers are doing. Just build the offensive line. Like, it's almost like, I like when it's like, when in doubt, pick an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman. You will never be mad at that pick.
Right. Exactly. Like, you lose Tyron Smith, you gotta get somebody.
Yeah. But, like, anyone can take a chance on one of these flashy receivers or like a corner that could get burnt every fucking play in their rookie year. And it's like, everyone's calling him a bust 3 weeks into his NFL career. It's like, dude, you're throwing a 19-year-old guy that played 2 years of college football out to the fucking, he's guarding Devontae Adams.
Up against Pat Mahomes.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you expect this guy to go in there and compete in an NFL game just like
The one that I was really surprised that they fell this far was he the first defensive player off the board?
16 Damn. Or something like that.
17, Dallas Turner. That's crazy.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Byron Murphy was the first.
15?
Wait. No. There was three. It went three. I don't know why. I thought Dallas Turner was going to get picked in like the top. I thought he was going to go to Atlanta at 8.
Well, nobody expected there to be 13 straight offensive picks, and nobody expected. Yeah, I mean.
Then everyone was scrambling for the defensive guys. Colts go and get that Latu. Seahawks go get Byron Murphy from Texas. Vikings trade up to get Dallas Turner. And the one that I was waiting one more pick that I would have loved to get is Jared Verse from Florida State. The Rams got him the pick before us. I think he's going to be a fucking animal from Florida State. He's so good. I think that's a good spot for him to go to out there with the Rams. He wouldn't have had a really spot here with Highsmith just getting his contract and Watt, but I'd never say – I'm also the type of person that's like, take the best player available. Like, I don't care who's on your roster.
Yeah, definitely.
Take the best player available. Like, I don't care if you need a guard. Like, if you're reaching on a guard or you can take an edge rusher that's – the best player sitting on the board, like, I'm taking the best player. Like, we'll figure the contracts and shit out later. Like, you can make him an outside linebacker.
Exactly. You can always plug him in somewhere else. If he's the best player on the board, he's probably...
Or he puts some weight on, get your ass on the D-line. You're playing D-end. Like,
yeah, agreed.
These guys will figure it out. That was the one that kind of killed me. When Dallas Turner started to fall, and then I saw the Vikings have traded for this pick, I was like, here it is. He's right.
Yeah,
here.
He's getting picked up.
Yeah.
What do you think?
He's wearing that ugly ass green suit. You see that dumbass suit he was wearing?
No.
It was like pistachio green, dude. It was terrible. He went on that. Did you see CJ Stroud and Michael Parsons on that, like, draft call thing? Like, they were reacting to the pick.
Dude, I love them. They go at it. They're friendly go at it, but they do go at it. It's so funny.
After this, I'll get to the other one that I like, the clip that I saw. They like FaceTime Dallas Turner, or Micah like got a call from Dallas Turner, like called him into the show, and Stroud Parsons asked him something like, oh, you know, congrats, that's huge, you know, congratulations, all this shit. And CJ Stroud goes, dude, you arguably have the worst outfit at draft night.
No way. I didn't see that.
Dude, it was something like that. It was so funny.
That's so funny.
And then the other one that I saw was, I don't know what, if it was the same, are they on like a podcast together?
Yeah, they do more than just that. Just the draft night.
That's weird. Ohio State and Penn State to Dallas and Houston. Like, they're not in the same conference, but like, I don't know.
Yeah, that is weird. But I think they're both like vocal, you know?
Like, yeah. Parsons and like offense, defense, like it's not like they work out together. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, oh, sure.
It is really
weird. Balls for me. Like,
it's a really weird combination. Maybe they like played in high school together or something.
The one that I saw was someone asked Mike Parsons, what do you think you would average in an NBA game? He goes, oh, I'm getting 20. And CJ Stroud literally just goes, oh my
God. Yeah, dude, they always just roll each other, their eyes at each other. Did you see where they were talking about how stacked Ohio State's offense was? And Mike was like, damn, dude, and no championships, no Big Ten championships. He's like, shut up, bro. What did you do?
Yeah, what did you win at Penn State? Nothing. Like,
that's so funny, though. They just go at it.
Yeah, that. I didn't know that they have like a show together. I thought it was just something for the draft.
I don't know if they have a show together, but I know Micah Parsons has a show,
just always has CJ Stroud.
And CJ Stroud likes to do podcasts. He's done a few.
They probably both work out in like Florida, and they're not even in Dallas and Houston. Like, you know what I mean?
There's got to be something there.
Yeah. But yeah, good not much in the world of baseball. We have
what do you think of?
We didn't review on any sport.
One thing I wanted to ask you was, what do you think of JJ McCarthy to the Vikings?
I think that's the most expected spot that he could have went to.
Do you think so? What do you think Justin Jefferson does with this? Do you think he wants out?
I think
if you're Justin Jefferson, you do not want, like, that's not who you wanted as your quarterback.
No. I think if things get ugly in the first couple of weeks of the season, like,
he's going to get vocal.
Yeah.
For sure.
Receivers do it every year. There's always a guy that does.
Especially like him. Like, he just, like, he's allowed to, man. Like,
you can't waste his time.
Give him a damn good quarterback. I mean, you can't waste his years.
The worst part is he's looking at his old college teammate, Ja'Marr Chase, with fucking Joe Burrow his whole career.
And he wants to be there. He even said he was jealous.
Believe me, I do not want him to go to Cincinnati. That's one last thing I want to deal with twice a year as a Steeler fan, is watching them too.
Since he would have to give up a lot to get Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow.
They wouldn't have a first-round pick for the next 5 years.
Or they wouldn't have a line, or they wouldn't have any defense. Yeah. It wouldn't work out.
Yeah. They're too smart. No NFL team would actually give up that many picks. The only guy that's worth that is like Mahomes.
Yeah, because you can literally change the game. Justin Jefferson's a receiver. He can't change. He's not involved in every play. You can't.
Yeah.
You can't have that much of an impact.
Yeah. All right. Real quick for the MLB, we'll go over our power rankings. We kind of went through the NHL and NBA. We don't really need to as much for the playoffs.
Yeah.
But power rankings in the MLB, number 5, the Philadelphia Phillies. Number 4, these Cleveland Guardians that keep winning games. Number 3, Baltimore Orioles. Number 2, the New York Yankees. And the number 1, Atlanta Braves in back-to-back weeks. Cleveland, I don't know if it's because I was with Addison, but I feel like I watched the Cleveland Guardians all last weekend. But, dude, they're good. They go into Atlanta, get a series win. Like, I'm waiting. When I got the news that Bieber was done, I was like, oh, this team's going to, you know, kind of filter off. But they're in such a bad division that their matchups that they get every night are friendly for them. They're favored almost every night.
Yeah, all I'm going to say is it's a long season. I don't see this team being at the top by the end of it. But, I mean, they're definitely proving a lot of people wrong. And the Twins were expected to win this division. And
yeah,
Guardians are clearly the best team in this division. Yeah. And I think they'll definitely be in the playoffs. But I don't think that they'll be top 3 team in the league by the end of the season.
No, I agree. I agree.
They definitely have the roster. Their bats are going. The pitching's going, even without their ace. I really have nothing bad to say about them. Just, yeah, I'm just kind of hating on them a little.
Yeah. And Philly getting back to, I think they were on our list last week, or maybe not yet. This might be their first time getting back to kind of what we all expected of them. Yankees, Braves, I think we said those two will probably be sitting there most of the year. We did say the Dodgers probably wouldn't fall off this list. They haven't been making too much noise the past couple of weeks, but I think a solid list. Obviously, MLB, like you said, such a long season. Take these for what it's worth. It's obviously, like we said, May. First week of May, going into the MLB season, we're about a month and a half in. We've seen my Pirates on this list. They're far from here now. Like we said, we'll see how these teams keep up. Obviously, getting MLB plays out, you know, on the social medias whenever we see them. Hit on the Brewers today. What's Ace? What was the other play he sent?
Phillies -1.5. So they're up 2-1 before we started.
Phillies -1.5.
They're still up 2-1. Top 8.
Okay, that's not looking good. So looking like a 1-1 day. Hopefully not.
Not gonna call it yet, but yeah.
Yeah, not gonna call it yet, just because they could hit a solo shot. That'd be nice, but not a good chance.
Be awesome.
But yeah, MLB card's been doing pretty well. NBA card, obviously getting them out there in the NBA playoffs. Haven't had too many NBA plays throughout the regular season, but in the playoffs, obviously locking in on some of these good matchups. NHL, same way, getting a lot of plays out. So make sure you're staying tuned to the social medias. Other than that, I think that's all we got. Going to try to get a live stream out, get some picks going in the next couple of days to preview some of these second round matchups. But if you got anything else to add, go right ahead.
No, I just saw a report that says the Knicks are willing to offer almost anything to pair Devin Booker and Jalen Brunson. Not the biggest fan of that, but I don't have to get into that now. But that's very interesting.
Yeah, I don't love that first reaction. I don't love Booker.
Dude, what's like? We don't need your points, dude. You're playing zero defense. Knicks are just so sound defensively. I don't know. I feel like it'll mess things up.
You know, what's crazy is like now that we're going back to basketball, is I look back at like. Remember when KD was supposed to get, and everyone was supposed to go to the Knicks that year? When they all went to Brooklyn?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I truly think if KD would have went to the Knicks, he would have never went to Phoenix, and he would still be with the Knicks.
I think the Knicks would be, he would have excelled in the Knicks.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This is, he's not.
Build around him, and I mean, that Knicks team, they drafted well as well. So I mean,
he's going to be on his 6th team. That's crazy. Like, for a superstar like him to be on, going on his 60, it's like as soon as something doesn't work, he's like, I'm out.
Yeah, and it really is killing his legacy, because I used to say he was, dude, like, coming off of Golden State, he was a top 15 player of all time, and it's only going down.
I was going to say, he's not helping his case at all.
He's not. He's really not at
and
all.
He just got swept to a younger, like, a way young, inexperienced team. Like,
dude, he's won two playoff rounds since leaving the Warriors.
Golden State, yeah.
Listen, that year that they lost to the Bucks in 7, whoever won that series was going to win the champ. What'd you say?
I said if his toe was only a half size smaller.
That foot on the line, I forgot about that. But if whoever won that game was going to win the NBA championship, but I mean, he didn't. They lost the game and they didn't win it. And
the Bucks did and they won.
Not like, adding to your resume, and you haven't done anything since. So, on a bunch of super teams nonetheless. So that's
we're definitely going to dive into. We'll have some fun with some of this. NBA offseason rumors and stuff once the playoffs come to an end. Obviously, LeBron with his $50 million player option for the Lakers to come back or retire. He's been all over the news making all these annoying-ass comments, but no shot he retires. But we'll see what comes of this in the next coming weeks. Like I said, make sure you're following us on social medias. Other than that, thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys next week for the podcast. Hopefully, you have us, Jesse and Ace back with us. Get a full crew going, recap round two, look ahead for some of these Eastern and Western Conference matchups for the championships. But other than that, thanks for listening. We'll see you guys next week.